terrific if you're even good. Where anyone at all from TV's Lassie to Monroe's Chassie is equally understood. Go out and try your luck. You might be Donald Duck. Hooray for Hollywood. Hooray for Hollywood. That phony super coney Hollywood. They come from Chillicothe and Paducah's with their bazookas to get their names up in lights, all armed with photos from local rodos, with their hair in ribbons and legs in tights. Hooray for Hollywood. You may be homely in your neighborhood, but if you think that you can be an actor, see Mr. Factor. He'd make a monkey look good. Within a half an hour, you'll look like Tyrone Power. Hooray for Hollywood.
Welcome to Flavor Living Radio. This is Brian, your host, broadcasting from Hampton Roads in Virginia. Welcome, it's Oscar week. Yes, it's the Oscars going on Sunday, the 28th of February. Man, we had to bring a guest in, or ask a guest to be, you know, an honor to have this guest on our show today. She is from California. She lives in California, where the Oscars are being done. Her name is Barbara Lazaroff. Yes. And man, I want to tell you, I hope you guys are listening. This is a great honor. And first, let's hear this before we go on more to our show with our interview with... Let me stop there. I'm going to stop. We'll be right back.
DiCaprio, Cranston, Redmayne, Fassbender, Damon. Who will be best actor? Woo! The battle for gold is on.
And the Oscar goes to...
All right, all right.
One high-stakes showdown after another. The most unpredictable race.
This is nuts.
The most unpredictable show. Chris Rock hosts The Oscars. Live Oscar Sunday, February 28th on ABC.
And here's our interview.
She is also the co-founder of Wolfgang Puck, the famous company, and she's the one who started it, and we have her on our show today. I want to welcome Barbara Lazarus to Flavor Living Radio. How are you doing, Barbara? How's it going?
Hi, it's a pleasure. Hi, I'm Barbara Lazaroff, and actually we started our fine dining group in 1982, January 16th was our very first restaurant, but we really were working probably from 79 on, so it's been a long, long voyage.
What an accomplished person. You're very humble to be on our show, and I want to thank you, but man, I just want to tell the story about how this happened, and how's it going? Is there a lot of buzz there in California already for the Oscars there?
Oh, goodness.
I'm in the East Coast, but I know...
Everywhere you go, it was very funny. The other day somebody said, well, why can't I reach this person? You know, the Oscars aren't until Sunday. And then they called back and they said, oh, I see. I just went down the street and saw. And what they saw was everywhere you go, people are erecting, not only where we do the Oscars at the Dolby Theater at Hollywood and Highland, where the Oscars are televised and then people go up to the ballroom, but all over town, people are erecting, you know, tents, large units.
Yeah, satellite trucks and news.
Yeah, and the fair party, the Elton John party. It's all over the place. It's a frenzy right now.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I just wanted to have you to explain everything and listen to everybody who's listening to our show. You know, we are going to have the inside scoop on the Oscars menu. The menu at the Oscars Governor's Ball here on our show later today. But I have to tell the story. I wanted to go back and just talk about really You're originally from New York City.
I am. I was born in the Bronx, and I lived in Queens. I went to school. I started out at NYU. I went to Berkeley. I went back to New York, and then I went to Los Angeles to go to university, and I stayed here. But actually, I started out in the theater arts, but then I studied biochemistry, and now I'm back to the arts with my you know, restaurant design, and I'm in business, and I, you know, it's very interesting. As my mother used to say, no education is ever wasted, so you put everything to use.
Yes, yes. How was it growing up? I mean, at your, you know, as far as your dinner table, the foods, and us, how was it at your table there in New York? You said you're from a Jewish background,
yes,
Eastern Jewish. So how was your background, you know?
Well, my mother was born in the United States, so we were, and my father as well, so it wasn't like
okay.
an old country. But my grandparents on my father's side are from Russia. Actually, my mother's mother was born in Turkey, which I found out much later on because she passed away when my mother was four. So I'm actually going to be in Istanbul. We have a Spago in Istanbul. I have yet to see it. I'm taking a cruise from Venice with Viking River ships. Now they've started ships. So it's going to be fascinating for me. But the dinner table, My mother was a working mother, and it was very difficult, and we were a very working-class family, and I can't say that the food was that innovative at all. And she tried very hard, and I miss her very much. I lost her a few years ago.
Respect.
But that's not where the spark came from.
But I mean, I know I was looking at it. You're saying at your dinner table, it was like, hey, pass the butter. Come over here, do this. Come. I mean, everybody was very outgoing, and you know, very.
Well, you know, as Woody Allen so aptly showed in his Annie Hall film, you had the two sides of the screen, you know, the WASPy kind of side and the Jewish side, and there was a lot more activity on the Jewish side. It can get very noisy. But, you know, I have two brothers. One is a retired law professor. The other one is a businessman in New York.
Wow.
He actually is in licensing of very high-end food products. He's got 250 patents under his name. My brother's a sports law attorney as well as a different type of attorney, and they're accomplished.
Wow,
but
Z-Bruce.
Really, really... The whole interest in food came later on, and of course, meeting my now former husband, we started a number of companies. We started a frozen food division because people would say, "How can you open Spago and then do frozen food?" And our attitude was, "No matter what you're going to do, if you can be the very best in that sector, why not?"
So you were at a disco at a cooking demo in New York, right?
No,
and you guys met.
That's a little. I was actually studying to be a physician. My background's in biochemistry.
Wow.
I had a friend who used to see me at the gym with this gigantic organic chemistry book. Excuse me.
Okay.
And she was French, and she used to say to me, "Why are you always reading this book? You never do anything fun." So she was after me for months and months. So one night she invited me to her private club, and that's when Wolf and I met. I went to a cooking class the next day, which I was very interested in. That led to me a few weeks later writing the prose for his first cookbook. Then I put him on his first TV show, and on. Anyway.
And so basically, as far as – and Wolfgang Puck's from Austria, I saw. He was raised in the European background, and you guys met. See, I'm trying to explain how this restaurant rocket started.
Well,
these two engineers
really,
here.
of course, that's a number of years ago. We've been – you know, we have two children together. He's remarried to somebody that used to work in the restaurant. That was a little bit of an unfortunate situation that I will not speak about. And my sons are, you know, one of my older son is presently getting his PhD in the history of science and technology, quite academically, and he just got married. He's academically advanced. He just got married. We had a beautiful wedding at the Bel Air where we also do the food at the hotel there. So it was a beautiful wedding, and she's a lovely, lovely girl. They've been together a long time. And my younger son is the one that will probably go into the business for sure because he's over at the Hotel Hospitality School at Cornell, the number one restaurant and hotel management school in the world.
Wow, the genes. Now, you know, I wanted to ask Barbara Lazo about, you know, I got to go back to the story, but I heard there's going to be over at the Austria's Governor's Ball, there's going to be 300 cooks, 600 waiters? Is that's really?
Well, actually, there's 1,500 guests. There's 350 in culinary staff. 950 in serving staff, some other fun things, you know, I don't know, 13,000 glasses. My favorite fun fact is there's 10 kilos of caviar, which, let me see, that means it's over 22 pounds of caviar, and 300 Maine lobsters and 7,500 shrimp. So that's the kind of stuff that interests me, and the truffles. That's the stuff that makes it fun for me. And
yes. And you said the word pounds. You said pounds, not it pounds.
Well, 10 kilos equals, I just did that in my head, that's about 22 pounds of caviar.
Wow. And all of the chefs now, I mean, they're from the Wolfgang Puck company, from everywhere, divisions everywhere, and chefs come in from everywhere. I mean,
what we do is we have our chefs from Las Vegas, we have our chefs from different restaurants. It takes an entire village to create this. So even for the desserts, we have our executive chef Della Gossett from Spago Beverly Hills, but we also fly in Camille Guchitov, who's our corporate director of pastry for the entire Wolfgang Puck Fine Dining Group, and then Tyler Atwell is the executive pastry chef for our catering division. So you bring all these people together because they're making chocolate fountains and moving twirling cakes that appear to have chocolate film on them, so they look like a movie cake. They have the famous dessert is the solid chocolate Oscar that's dusted with edible gold dust, and we need 30 pounds of edible gold dust to do that. And
just
everybody
walks
away with a custom-made box with a chocolate Oscar in it. You can eat them there, and you also get them in your little gift bags as you leave. And so that's one of the most coveted little prizes. And our CEO, Carl Schuster, from Wolfgang Puck Catering, has to direct all of this hospitality experience, because I just want to express how difficult it is. It's more than just all those chefs in the kitchen orchestrating this meal so that the lamb chops, the food, everything goes out on time. The chicken pot pies with the black truffles in them, and everything's hot and correct, and the little past plates. But you also have, you have the glitterati of, all of Hollywood and all the producers and executives, and they're used to great service. So
yeah, the top of the line. I heard now there's 3,000 people who see it, but only 1,500 that can get a ticket.
Yeah, the Governor's Ball is by invitation, and often what happens is, besides the people that have been nominated and the people obviously who have won an Oscar and some of the other previous people who have been nominated, you have most of the tables on certain areas of the floors are purchased by, Sony, by Weinstein Company, all the various
movie companies.
Companies. Yeah, they're buying their tables up, and they're representing, of course, the films of that year. So, yes, it's very important. So they will fill their own tables with their guests.
Okay, we got to go back to the story here. So, okay, everybody, I am learning this initials, the ASID, American Society for Interior Designers.
Well, to be an ASID member, you basically
have
to go to school for 4 years of advanced study after college, or you have to work 8 years in the business. And considering I've been doing it since 1982, I was admitted years ago, but I was also admitted in 1991 to the Platinum Circle, which is sort of a Hall of Fame of designers for Rest Design Magazine. And we have an event every year, and it's really fun because 2 years ago we started admitting, first time ever, certain chefs that, like Daniel Ballou and past year Nobu, who have taken a deep and profound interest in the importance of environment in terms of enhancing your dining experience.
I mean, I heard it's a very strict to get, it's a strict code as far as interior decorators, designers to get in, and with credit. College credit, you have to have certain college credits to get
in,
and just experience and background, and it's a huge organization that is trendy on design,
Yeah, exactly. So I've been designing restaurants for many years, and actually I took some time off, and I finally built my own dream kitchen. It took me 26 years to get there, and my bathroom upstairs.
I saw Barbara Streisand a few months ago, and she said, "Are you going to do the Oscars again?" And I said, "Yeah, yeah, for sure." And she said, "I don't care what you cook as long as you make my chicken pot pie." Some newer dishes also, like the Alaskan king crab, like a little Chinese style. We have the Chinoa lobster, and then we have also a vegetarian array of dishes. We have our grape and almond gazpacho, so there will be something for everybody.
We've done the work ahead of time, which is the really beautiful part about this cocktail, and it's all built in to a little ISI canister. And so it saves you a little bit of the shaking, but we've charged it with a little bit of nitrous. You've got the head club as the base. You have a little bit of passion fruit juice, yellow chartreuse, lemon, lime, and a touch of cream. And so it's just a nice little small three-sip cocktail, and it froths up really beautifully.
You're very, very well.
And then we finish it off with a pinch of smoked salt.
That was Wolfgang Puck with a preview of the Governor's Ball, Oscar's Governor's Ball, this year. And you know, we have on our show here today Barbara Lazaroff. And well, what an interview. We have to go back and hear more about how this company, man, I'm telling you, if you just Google, are you any search Bing, just put their Wolfgang Puck and go to their website, and you'll see what they just really did as far as Hollywood, their standards in restaurant and standards are in the retail food. Let me stop here. Let's go back to our interview and see what's happening for more.
And I repurposed, actually, or what we call upscale, upcycling, a lot of the things that I had in my previous restaurants that I created up and kept for years because they were made by so many beautiful artisans and things I had designed. So I'm very happy to finally have a house I think I deserve.
That's like, this is my kitchen, this
well,
is mine.
Well, you know, it was funny. Every year, I must tell you, when we did live together many years ago, Wolf, I would say, you know, Wolf, the kids are growing up. We really have to fix this kitchen up. The house is so old. Everything's broken. And he would say, oh, no. You know, we got the kitchens at the restaurant. So we don't need it.
Yeah.
I think the first thing that happened in his life was he bought a house and he built a kitchen. So this year, I'm pleased to say that I had an amazing Thanksgiving dinner where I built a dining room in the kitchen as well, and we had the guests and we had fabulous food, and my younger son Byron had the opportunity to do a lot of cooking, and so he was pleased.
Wow. Now I gotta go back to 1982 on Sunset Boulevard.
Yeah.
And Sunset Boulevard, West Hollywood, the first Sparga, tell us about what happened. This is the first one. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this restaurant has had two Michelin stars, 2008, 2009, won Spectacular Grand Award, James Beard Award for Best Services in 2005.
That's actually the best restaurant of the year, which you have to be in business for 10 years. We actually, Wolf and I have James Beard for that, and we also have a James Beard Award for Humanitarians of the Year for our American Wine and Food Festival we did for 29 years that gave the money to homebound elderly Meals on Wheels, known as Meals on Wheels.
Do you know about the Michelamen?
It is a book.
It is the book, Jana, the Bible.
Michelin sends its inspectors to restaurants to eat and award stars. One, two, three.
Or none.
No one knows who they are. No one. They come, they eat, they go. But they have habits. They have to stick to a routine to give every restaurant the same chance. Michelamen eat in pairs.
Sometimes the Michelin man can even be a woman.
They always book a table before 7:30. The first of the pair arrives early and has a drink at the bar. His partner arrives half an hour later. One orders the tasting menu, the other one a la carte. Always. They order half a bottle of wine, they ask for tap water, they wear business suits, they're polite. But attention, they may place a fork on the floor under the table to see if you notice. And they wouldn't drop it because that could make a noise and make it too easy.
Everything from now on must be perfect. Not good, not excellent, perfect.
How did this, what happened at the beginning here, the beginning of Sparga in 1982, Sunset Boulevard?
Kind of a funny story I used to tell. I haven't told it in a long time, but basically Wolf and I were home in the afternoon between the lunch and the dinner service, and he looked at the screen, the TV screen, and he was a little irked, I think. He saw one of his waiters from Ma Maison, where he was a chef there, and there were a lot of celebrities in this little tiny restaurant with AstroTurf and plastic ducks and the thing. It was a very funny little restaurant that... Anyway, he said, why is the waiter on TV, and what is he doing talking about food, and why is that to me? And he had a strong accent then, but he spoke English, and in retrospect, I found out many years later that they had come to Wolfgang at one point to ask him to be on TV, but Patrick, the owner at the time, said, no, I do it, or something. He didn't want Wolf on TV. So what happened was I picked up the phone, and I called my friend, Donna Rosenstein, who is still in casting. She now is the casting director and handles all casting for Amazon. And she contacted our friend Lillian Mizrahi. And Lillian used to do what is unheard of these days. I mean, at the time, she was one of the first people doing it, which was she was a consultant for shows to cast people. Not a person on the show, but somebody like a roving consultant. It was something unheard of then. It was unique. And she said, I did not know that she didn't realize I was not his manager. I was actually his partner at the time.
Yes. So
for a few years, everyone thought of me as his manager because I would book his press, I would book his TV. And what happened was he went on TV, and then after that, another time, another day, he said, you know, I have this dream about opening a restaurant one day. And I said, really, what's your idea? And there were these little restaurants in the south of France that had little wood-burning ovens, and they made
pizzas
and whatever. And I called up the fire department, and he said they won't allow it. And what I did was I was, I think, clever. I felt it, the fire chief out, and he said, fire inspector, rather, had just come back in from being out. The timing was impeccable, but
okay.
Absolutely didn't know it was going to happen this way. And I explained to him, and he said, well, are the customers going to be able to get near the fireplace? I go, no, because I could see his hesitancy. I said, no, I'm going to build a counter in front of it. And that became Spago. And I must add that for the listeners out there that don't know, I'm not sure there was ever a restaurant that was a success as quickly as Spago Hollywood was. We had every celebrity in town, and it was a huge hit. And that's where the Irving Lazar, known as Swifty Lazar and Mary Lazar, Oscar parties were held.
Man, I was looking at the pictures. I don't know. Can I just say some of the people, the pictures that were at your restaurant?
I know.
Morgan Freeman, Dolly Parton,
everybody.
Stevie Wonder, Jimmy Stewart.
This predated Vanity Fair. Audrey Hepburn, Cary Grant, Whoopi Goldberg, when she was first starring on Broadway, was meeting with Andy Warhol in the same room. You know, Sally Fields. The night that Madonna came in, she had broken up with Warren Beatty, but he was already with his present wife, and she went and sat down right on his lap. She brought Michael Jackson with her, or he brought her, but the two of them were together. And just the most eclectic group of people. So the parties were absolutely wild.
Wow. Wow. I know you could just that would be a whole nother couple of radio shows to explain all that. Yeah, to explain all that. Just incredible. And just incredible. I just was looking at some of the pictures and just everything that happened. Now, after the Spargo in 1982, you started getting offers to have just wanting more Spargo.
Well, what
Spargo
happened was the very next restaurant was our Asian fusion restaurant, Shinhua, Maine, in Santa Monica, which 33 years later is still there. And actually, with the advent of that restaurant, the sale of catfish went up 33% in the United States in the next 2 years because catfish became so popular. We started doing it, then other people started doing Asian fusion restaurants. So really, 1 year after Spago Hollywood opened, the Times wrote an article, cover page in the entertainment section called The Spagoization of America. I could say in many ways that our little Asian restaurant, and it's a small restaurant, which we've expanded a little bit with a private dining room about 10 years ago, really was on the forefront of introducing people to Asian fusion, which is a combination of different sort of, and contemporized. I mean, it's sort of like, we call it Chinois, which is the French word for Chinese. because it was Chinese-inspired cuisine made basically in a French style. You know, we didn't chop things up into tiny little pieces. Mm. We didn't use certain elements, but we did use a lot of butter. So I can't say that when you eat the Shanghai lobster at Chinois, that it is actually on your diet. It's quite filling, but it's very good with a deep spinach. But it's a voyage. We opened other Spagos. We have one in Istanbul. We're opening a Cairo. We opened a cut at the Beverly Wosha, which is our meat-inspired, steak restaurants with Wagyu beef and American, Kobe beef and different things. It really extraordinary cuts of meat. Ironically, I don't eat beef. But
okay.
I'm happy to say that a whole lot of other people do, so they
resonate
very well.
Now, I saw this quote, I think it was from yourself, or Wolfgang, it said, it probably has to be from your quote. It says, you dine with your eyes first.
Yes, that was my quote.
You're like, hey, I claim that. That's me. That was me.
That was from Designers West. And I said, when you're in a room, you have the aroma wafting across the room, the scent. But you really do, as a visual person, particularly myself, but all people, you dine with your eyes first. You dine with other senses as well, how it smells, all the rest of it. If you cannot smell food, you actually cannot taste it. People who lose their sense of smell, or like when you get a terrible cold, or worse than that, when people have serious situations where they can no longer smell, you can't taste it. So all these senses work together, but the way you present food on a plate, even simplest food, can really stimulate the appetite. It's very important, even if you're having cereal in the morning or porridge, how you put your berries in and whatever, if you put it on an attractive plate and if you take a moment to sit down, and for me, I prefer a real napkin as opposed to a paper napkin, but kids sometimes. Yeah. All this matters. And I'll tell you one more thing.
Yes.
If you're serving a really good wine, you must serve it in a good wine glass. The thicker the rim on the wine glass, it really does taste different. And I'm not being shishi here.
I believe everything you're saying.
No.
Believe everything.
It really makes a difference.
Wow. Because, the combination of Wolfgang Puck and yourself with the design of interior design, that there speaks for itself, for what you're saying, dying with your eyes first.
You do. Well,
those two combinations
If you see another individual and you look at the individual, even though we should never, in quotes, judge, you make certain assessments when you see the way somebody's dressed, how they carry themselves, if they're clean, if they're not clean. Whether or not that's not the whole individual by any means, and one should not make that, but unfortunately or fortunately, we do.
The first impression, you're saying.
It's often the most salient, absolutely. And you know what? I always tell my staff, and the last one as well, because when people come into the restaurant, we have to greet them warmly, respectfully, and when they leave, we have to remember to thank them, make sure they had a good experience, or they're not coming back.
Wow. About the Oscars, because we have to go back to the Oscars.
Yes, go ahead.
Can you tell us, as far as how you got the first, this is the 22nd year that you guys have been doing the Oscars for the Governor's Ball, 22nd year. So how did you first land up? Wolfgang Puck,
lot of people don't know.
Here we go, everybody.
So we used to do the Vanity Fair party.
Hello, everyone. This is Brian. I know you want to go back and hear what happens for the Oscars, Governors, but I don't want y'all mad at me. So we're going back. We are going back to listen to what happens during this event.
Not the Vanity Fair party. We used to do the Swifty Lazar and Mary Lazar party that preceded, as I said, the Vanity Fair party. There was no Vanity Fair party. And frankly, the food at the Governor's Ball after the event was not particularly great. And people would come to Irving or Swifty Lazar's party because he was powerful. It was the most coveted party. So people would leave after giving their interviews or the acceptance, you know, after they went backstage and talked to the press. And the governor's ball was, they were losing a lot of people. So our friends, Alan and Marilyn Bergman, who are the famous, famous songwriters, look them up. They are American icons. Love songs for Barbara Streisand and many other people. Some of the most iconic songs you
would ever know, like behind the scenes type of song.
Great music, great American lyricists and music makers. Alan was on the board of trustees for the governor's ball, and he approached us. He approached Wolf, and he said, "Look, we really want to do something about the governor's ball and whatever." So, what happened was a deal was struck, and basically, the company was going to do the party after the governor's ball. We still continued doing Irving's party. And what I would do is I stayed at the party because the party consisted of a seated dinner first that the restaurant would do, and stars like, Kirk Douglas or other people, somewhat in a little older crowd sometimes, some younger crowd too, and they would come, and often half of them would leave, some would stay.
Okay.
And I have to finish the story, or you're not going to understand it. And then afterwards, the people would come after some of them after the governor's ball, where some of them would dine there.
Okay.
After Irving passed away, we stopped doing that party, and Wolf used to run back after doing the food there and come back late, because our party at Spago would last until 2, 3, 4 in the morning. So that's how it came to be.
Wow. So it was a matter of taste from the beginning.
Well, it was a matter of seduce people into staying at the governor's ball.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Wow. Well,
you want to know that every year there's a theme for the governor's ball, and this year...
Yes. We wanted to ask you about that.
Yeah, this year it was Jeffrey Curlin, who's the event producer, along with... he's the Academy governor, and he produces it along with Cheryl Cicchetto and Wolfgang does the food, our company. The wall, every year there's a theme, and this year it's sort of caricature, kind of with iconic caricatures from like Sardi's and the Brown Derby restaurants. And there's going to be commissioned drawings, showcasing filmmaking luminaries of today in the past, and also people who are appearing in this year's films, the nominated films.
Okay,
and
like The Martian, like a theme for The Martian.
Well, all of it. I don't know specifically which piece of art, it's about the art of making films and the individuals who create art. So there's drawings by all these amazing illustrators, sort of reminiscent of Hirschfeld. Mm. Remember the very famous Hirschfeld portraits that.
I saw at the Brown Derby, in their restaurant.
New York Magazine used to have caricatures of famous individuals. So it's sort of attuned to that. So that's going to be really fun. And he's also designing, Curland is also designing even the costumes, that the servers' outfits. And that's what I'm saying about you dine with your eyes first. Mm-hmm. When you come into a space, you're designing a restaurant, you're designing a home, you're designing a menu, you're designing a party. I think that when you carry a concept from beginning to end, it's cohesive and it really makes an impact. And some of those elements are subliminal and some are very overt. But you just feel them. And you don't just see them. You actually feel them. It's sort of like love when it's right.
Right.
Whew.
Go ahead. All right, Barbara Lazlo. I understand.
Okay.
Yeah, that was. I understand that totally. I wanted to do a real quick, show kind of like a word phrase association. I had some phrases and some words, and I wanted to kind of see what you thought. Yes. You ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? You ready?
Yeah, okay. I have to edit some of this.
I know. Come on. This is good here. We have Barbara Lazlo on our show. Okay, here we go. So the first word is the color purple.
Me.
Aha. That's right.
No, I'm a purple freak.
That's what I had to ask you. about
course,
this color, the color purple.
Yeah, when I think about the color purple, of course.
Yes,
I think
yes,
of
the purple,
Whoopi
purple.
Goldberg too.
Yes.
I'll tell you one more thing. One more thing.
All right.
Purple, you know, lavender is to feminist what purple is to womanist. I'm a womanist. I go all the way. But purple is the color of royalty. So I
yes.
say royalty. Go ahead.
Gotcha. All right. Okay. All right. So you ready for the next one?
Okay.
It said that when you're around people, you make them feel appreciated and cared about. And that's the, I saw that. Now, can you say, what do you notice that about people? You notice like, hey, I need to, you know, because a lot of people, it's hard to, you know, this word appreciated. And that's the vibe that a lot of people have.
Because each person is unique and each person has a special, unique essence. Whether it's a child, a man or woman, older, younger, poor, well-to-do, celebrity, non-celebrity, because I'm not really fond of the word celebrity. It's become so overused. For me, a brilliant doctor is a celebrity.
Gotcha.
For me, you know, so I want people to know I appreciate them because I appreciate all of humanity if they're good people, if they're people who care. I certainly take issue with people who hurt other people. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The next one, okay, phrase is like a design company that benefits the community.
Ah, yes. Yeah. Well, yeah, I have my Flame of Life dinnerware, and I created that based on the design of Spago because I want to give things back. So when I design, some of the things I design, obviously, I support myself, whatever. You know, if somebody wants their home or a restaurant designed, it's a business transaction. But I do a lot of things that are philanthropic. I'm on the board of many cancer research organizations, children's hospitals, children's museums. And
right, the Meals on Wheels, I saw.
Yes, Meals on Wheels, all of it. I gave my Flame of Life dinnerware money, which I sell the dishes on Amazon. And that money goes to, last year I gave it away to 13 different charities. So any company, what you mean by design company, helping community, I say that every business can be in sense of a place of worship. And I don't mean necessarily institutionalized religion. I should say spirituality. Every business can be a front for a house of worship, meaning you can, if you're in business, you have the capacity to help others, whether it's giving some child or young person an opportunity to work, an internship, a learning experience, whether it's helping your staff by providing proper health care or whatever, or going out there in the community with your company. Like I did, I redid the Aviva Home for Abused Girls in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. It took me 4 years, but I raised $1 million in in-kind donations, and I physically plastered the walls, painted them with a group of friends, and that's what we need to do.
You need
to give back. Yeah.
Wow. Well, I'm going to stop there because that's and just see. You're excited about the Oscars? I'm excited to see what's going.
Yeah.
I know there's been everything throwing around and this everything this, you know, the Sunday about the Oscars.
Yep.
I know
and
you've
Chris
been to so
is
many.
Be hysterical. I've met Chris is a lovely guy. It's going to be it's going to be fun filled, and it's of course very elegant always, and it's just an exciting opportunity, and I'm still very appreciative that I still have an opportunity to partake in such a fantastic event. Who would have thought as a little girl, you know? These are dreams.
Wow.
Coming true. So I am, and I wish everybody who's worked so hard on these films and people who were not nominated who truly deserve to be nominated. There's just so much good work out there.
Wow. Well, Barbara Lazif, thank you.
Well, Barbara Lazif,
thank you for being on our show on Flavor Living Radio, and it's an honor, and thank you very much.
Okay, and thank you. It was a pleasure.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
All right, bye. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Flavor of Living Radio. This is Bryant. We want to thank Barbara Lazaroff for being on our show today, telling us about Wolfgang Puck, the company, and the Oscars Governor's Ball. What happens? Just all the chefs 300 culinary chefs, 930 wait staff. Whoa. Thank you for being listening to our show. Drive safe and eat well and have a great week. And keep listening to Flavor Living Radio.
Cooking restaurants and recipes with events.